jack. Cause Mo can't rap, well what do you know? The dead org is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred, no time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So
welcome back. We are another episode of The Scenario. We are on location.
We are on location, I guess.
On location. At Dub's crib. Dub, thanks for coming back on, man. People have been asking you to come back, man.
What's up? What's up?
So, man, let's go right into it. People have asked your thoughts on the bracket and how it all shook out.
Did Zoe win?
No, hell no. She got knocked
did
out.
Did Zoe win?
No, no. Zoe win? No, she got knocked out. Like I said, she would.
Who was in the final?
The final was Angela Bassett.
All right, so Nia Long won. That's fair.
Yes.
I'll take that. Angela Bassett, man, like, she's old school, and I understand it. Like, Angela Bassett's fine, but she's like your auntie fine. She's not winning, like, the most solid black woman walking the planet Earth right now. In fact, I would venture to say that there was no year where she was the most solid black woman walking the planet Earth. But so she shouldn't have won any particular year.
But is it the same thing as kind of the Kobe factor where they say that Kobe was only the best player for like 1 year?
Yeah, but
of his whole career, like
no,
only
that's
best
cool.
player for one
that's
year.
That's that
his whole
one.
Career.
Angela was not the best player of any year, ever.
Because Holly was holding down the whole '90s.
Or everyone, or Nia. Like, Nia was around.
Nia was a late bloomer, though.
Nia was fine. And
Nia's career, so.
No, but I'm saying, but where she was holding it down was later in her career.
So, Nia's career was a lot like John Elway or Karl Malone, where they put numbers up for a long time and got that respect
got
up.
The
and then broke through and either got the ring or the MVP.
I'm going to be honest with you, dog. When Boys in the Hood come out, 92?
91.
There was no year since 91 where if you said Angela or Nia, where Brandon Williams would have said Angela. No year.
No.
Not 1 year.
I think not one year. I contested it to this point. As soon as Angela Bassett beat Beyonce, which is still ridiculous on so many levels.
I feel like on a rebound after Coachella. I feel like I'm on a rebound. I feel like Beyonce
like we need to redo the bracket like after Coachella.
Like
nope. Let these people sleep with the mischiefs that they did. My thing is, Beyonce purely lost because she's making cats' lives difficult that have level one moves that need at least a level five.
But we have a lot of women also that may have voted as well. That's another aspect, too.
And women...
Women love Beyonce more than they love anything.
But some of them hate Beyonce,
I think
though.
I've realized our demographic may swing more towards the mid-30s when Angela Bassett went to the finals. Because you got a lot of chicks that's in their mid-30s. Early 30s that don't fuck with Beyonce. I think that's a younger 20, late 20s.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of women. Mm-hmm. I've never met the woman that does not fuck with Beyonce. I've met a lot of dudes.
My wife
don't fuck
with Beyonce.
I know a few women. Here's the thing. There's women that don't fuck with Beyonce because other chicks fuck with Beyonce. Like, they like the music, but they act like, oh, I don't like her as much as you do because they think it make them cool.
Mm. Yeah, nah.
To be the dissident person of like, mm-hmm. I'm the cool person.
Yeah, I'm the rebel. I'm not finna worship this girl like y'all do. And it's like, well, you're the one that looks stupid though. So
and
like,
to be clear, I don't love Beyonce.
No, not you.
I recognize her talents.
You're fine. I recognize all of her talents.
Yes.
I mean, and
the physical ones are awesome.
Yeah, I mean that's really what I'm here for.
Yeah, I say don't shut that off.
Yeah, the time I invited Beyonce to Sting and shit.
Who did?
I did.
Why?
I got to meet her like back my senior year of high school.
Oh, you talking about a different Beyonce?
Yeah, this is Destiny's Child Beyonce.
Yeah, nah, Beyonce.
And they were walking out, they were talking to me, and they were waiting for their limo. And I shot my shot. I was like, yo, hey man, y'all, because back in the day, you know, remember Steak and Shake was the spot, well, at least St. Louis for like high school kids. Steak and Shake, I was like, yo. If y'all want to get some of these, y'all want to go to Steak and Shake?
Hey, you
got to
put it out there.
Hold up.
You got to put it out there.
Wait a minute. Here's what I need. I need a brief revisit.
Of how I got to be right next to him.
No. Not so much that. That's too much detail for me. I need for you right now to air out how many celebrity chicks or chicks that are on this bracket we did that at some point in your life you took a shot at.
There was another one, Megan Good.
Yeah, I smoked cigarettes. I only smoked cigarettes outside the club trying to
completely okay.
You got what you got to do.
Yo, I was like, yo, I was like, can you get a cigarette? That was my whole way to get in. No, that's only two on the bracket.
You sure?
Yes.
I don't want you to come up in like 3 months and be like, oh yeah, there was this time that me and Vanessa Williams was hanging out.
There's someone down on the bracket that I did
on the Metro
almost go on a date with though. That wasn't on the bracket though, at all. Keisha Cole.
Oh, she was
nowhere early. Close.
She wasn't gonna be on that bracket.
She was nowhere close.
No, 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 no. But I'm saying, but this is before she even dropped. Though this is like I was in a summer program at Cal, and I met her. This is 2002. So we talking about 2 years before she even jumped off.
We're gonna really get the life and times of you someday,
dude. Man, yeah.
You gotta wear this same jacket you got on right now and the same fitted. I'm gonna put a camera in front of you.
I was like that about my disdain for Jermaine Jackson. They want me to do like a Jermaine Jackson. Man, my, so I hate Jermaine Jackson. I'm yeah, like, he's my, like, my, like, I hate Jermaine Jackson.
My dad mentioned that Jermaine Jackson section, like among all other things.
I hate Jermaine Jackson, man.
He also he said sensitivity is the unquestionable Rob Trezvant classic too.
Who said different?
No, well, we were talking about,
we picked our songs that we like.
No. You said do what you gotta do.
No. Not saying it's about, I'm talking about what I like.
We like the most.
Yeah, but you can like an artist's song and understand that that's not their best song.
No, I'm cool with that.
No, we get
that. Sensitivity is Rob Trezvant's song.
Yeah, that's it. That's
like, of all the songs BBD ever made, Poison's my least favorite. But I understand that that's their song.
Yeah, I get
you. That's the one that's going to end the concert, but you're going to hear the stuff in between that you enjoy on the way there.
Yeah, my homeboy Sal in KC, every time Poison comes on the radio, he shoots me a text because he has this argument. His discussion is like, somebody plays Poison every day. And I'm like, nah, dog. Like, it's old enough for people not playing
it.
Nah,
it is.
Every time I see the text, it's like, dog, Poison's on the radio. I told you.
Poison comes gets played every day.
So. No, yeah, in some city, somewhere, they're getting a royalty check. Somewhere.
So I'm not
they're getting two pennies in some random place.
Yeah, they're good.
Place.
Are they residually the most successful group for New Edition? Okay. And I do, including solo artists. And I do understand Bobby Brown's big.
I think Bobby Brown's getting more residual money.
No, I mean, when's the last time you heard Every Little Step You Take or My
Heart? It gets sampled. It's been sampled 8 times.
Man, I don't know.
Well, now, that's a different story. That means Teddy Riley's getting a check off of that because he's...
True.
No, I'm saying, so you're...
I still maintain that Poison is the runaway biggest
because
hit.
Was
I think Poison is the biggest hit in New Edition, including New Edition.
New Edition sold.
I think Poison is the biggest hit the whole... All of them had...
Plus the group.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can You Stand the Rain?
Way bigger.
Oh, stop it.
Way bigger.
Yeah, no,
stop
it. Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, Bobby Brown might have a bigger hit than Can You Stand the Rain.
I debated my prerogative is on the same level because it got remade. Britney Spears remade my prerogative.
Nah, don't matter. We're talking about the form of the song that it was recorded in.
Mariah Carey and Cisco remade the Beautiful Ones, but I'm not thinking about that. I think about Prince.
Beautiful Ones is a great song.
Yeah, when Prince sings it.
Yeah,
the original one's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the original form of Poison has outdone anything that's ever
been. Yeah, I think it's like one of the biggest songs of all time.
It is.
Poison, speaking of which, Poison, Ralph Tresvant and Ralph Tresvant. The song itself jumped in front of Ralph Tresvant himself.
It did.
Yep. Because they was on some like, yo, we got to come out now. Like, they was like, yo, we going to studio tomorrow.
Which I'm not mad at them for.
Because they had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And that was originally supposed to go to, I forgot who was supposed to go to. Because I forgot who was supposed to go to. It's like Keith Sweat is somebody supposed to go to at first. And Michael Bivins stopped it like, yo, no, I want that beat.
Mm-hmm.
They had the whole Poison, everything was already written out.
If they had given Poison to Keith Sweat, that would have been one of the great tragedies.
Yeah,
Keith Sweat at the time was hot.
No, I would not listen to a Keith Sweat song now.
No, to be clear.
People hate, no, you hate on clear. Keith Sweat the way you
Keith
want.
Sweat's greatest hits
is gangster.
Shitting on everyone's greatest hits that you're about to name other than R. Kelly.
Dude,
Keith Sweat. When you were born,
yes.
Keith Sweat's greatest hits are shitting on everyone.
Dude, Keith Sweat's
greatest hits.
We don't get the same.
Keith Sweat's whole greatest hits is killing.
Name anyone other than R. Kelly whose greatest hits go harder.
Put a Keith Sweat song up against the song.
Make it last forever?
Yeah. I mean.
You May Be Young, But You Ready. That ain't the name of it. But everybody knows it is You May Be Young, But You Ready. What's the name of it? Right or Wrong Way.
Right or Wrong Way.
Hey, man. I'll put Bobby's breakout album against his whole greatest hits.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
No, no, no.
I don't like Keith Sweat.
We don't do like Keith Sweat. We do a Keith Sweat appreciation show.
I'm going to that's going to do that show 1 week when I'm out of town.
I didn't even move this microphone. I started playing this shit in my house, dog.
Dude, no, Keith Sweat. No, Keith Sweat's got tracks. You got to think Keith Sweat.
Like 15. Like a solid 15.
Maybe 20.
Yeah, like solid.
Yes.
Because you got to think about Twisted. You got to think about Cut Close's whole album. You got to think about all that dumb shit.
Silk. I you want, gotta think he did all the silk shit?
Yes.
Hey, I gotta go out of town in like 3 weeks. Y'all should do that show. Y'all should get together and do that show.
You are dude. Tripping.
Dude, the first Keith Sweat album has got hits on it.
The first three.
Like four or five.
If you're saying I don't think Keith Sweat can sing, fine, I say, I'm with you. You're right, sir. But if you say Keith Sweat doesn't have hits.
No. I'm fine with him having hits. But here's the thing. There's a lot of people that make a lot of music I don't listen to. So I just don't care.
Dude, in the 90s, he's arguably... Him and R. Kelly had the most hits in the 90s.
Since I was born...
R&B solo.
Since I was born, R. Kelly's the number one solo artist.
Yes.
And I hate him.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
He also has...
But every
since song, you was born?
Yes.
Yes.
R. Kelly's the number one solo artist.
Are you still trying to say Mike is pop?
No, but R&B pop. Mike and Prince are pop. I love Prince is my
but
favorite.
But Mike
my thing about it is I don't consider pop to be a standalone genre. I consider all that stuff.
Because it crosses over to pop.
Yeah. But you understand that Michael Jackson makes different music than R. Kelly.
Well, I would certainly hope so.
Okay, so
you say a traditional R&B album.
They both are Pied Pipers. Nah, yeah. Think about it.
Michael Jackson's the most successful artist of all of our lives.
They are though, man. Like, dude, Keith Sweat, R. Kelly, 90s.
That's it.
I mean, Bobby had an opportunity
now,
to.
Now, Usher's fucking with him.
But Usher ain't
Keith Sweat.
Usher's underneath Bobby Brown.
I think he is though. Because Bobby Brown had a high summer.
Bobby Brown had like that one hot album and then two songs after.
No, that second album, that Bobby album went two or three platinum.
My nigga, that's off of the first album. But
yeah, let's not. I don't count guys.
No, the Bobby album was the second.
Was
album.
That the Ghostbusters song? Ghostbusters song?
No, Ghostbusters was his own song soundtrack. That went on the album. Right.
You the
Bobby
first album
got Pumping Around.
What's Pumps in the Bump? Not Pumps in the Bump.
Humping Around.
What's the other one?
Humping Around is on there. Good Enough. Can I Get Away?
Yeah, nobody listen to that
yes,
shit.
Yes, they do.
No one's putting
Something in Common with Whitney Houston. That was
a
banger.
That was a big one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Bobby had hits.
I'm saying Bobby had an album and a half.
Yes.
And Usher has like five albums that were banging. At least four. And Keith Sweat has four as well.
So Bobby Brown, but also...
The more I think about it, Keith Sweat is totally unappreciated.
And Bobby Brown's defense, too... He had a little bit of a Penny Hardaway, Grant Hill career.
Cocaine put him out the game too fast.
He tore his ACL via cocaine.
Fast. That's true.
You know, but I mean, if you look at that, I'm just saying, right now, I would take that album against. I don't know if there's been an album that's come out that I would even put against that one.
Come on, the first Bobby album?
Yeah.
No, we're not arguing that.
First Bobby album, Bang for Bang.
I'm talking about Don't Be Cruel.
Best R&B album of all
Don't
time.
Be Cruel. I mean, Don't Be Cruel. I still consider Thriller to be an R&B album.
Again,
I mean,
it's not.
It's a popular R&B album. It's a different sound for a different time, but it's still Michael Jackson is a fucking R&B
man,
artist.
It's too easy to do this, dog.
And if Thriller ain't it,
it's too easy.
You put Keith Sweat first album.
Don't Stop Your Love, Runner, Make It Last Forever. Nobody. How Deep Is Your Love? Right in the Wrong Way. Get Up On It. Get Up On It when he bought Kurt Cobain's out. Get Up On It. There you go, telling me no
from New Jack City.
Merry-go-round, twisted, and don't add LSG to the mix. Stop it. Stop it. Stop everything that you stand for right now.
Hey, Keith yo, Sweat with LSG too, though. Add LSG, though. That's excellent.
I'll give all my love to you. Oh, stop it.
I got the Keith Sweat Greatest Hits album.
Stop it.
I got it.
I could probably go 5 years without listening to a single Keith
Sweat.
That's
not the argument. You know what I can do? Go 5 years without seeing Angela Bassett's face and seeing Zoe and replacing it every time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the life we
this
live.
Is the mountain that I decided to stand on.
This is the first album. I'm going to go to tracks on the first album. Something Just Ain't Right.
That's
right
that's
in the
it.
Wrong way. Then Tell Me It's you Won't.
I don't know that. I'm
that's fine. I Want Her.
Hit.
Make It Last Forever.
Hit.
How Deep Is Your Love?
Hit.
That's it.
Hit.
Okay. All right. Glad we did that.
Yo!
I'm glad we did that. So... Don't Be Cruel.
No, Bobby Brown's album. He's got the better
my
album.
My prerogative.
No, we're talking about career.
Can we have appreciation
Bobby,
here? Can we have appreciation
Bobby,
here?
Bobby is,
Don't
Bobby's
Be Cruel. My prerogative. Rony. Rock with you.
Bobby's
every little step.
Look, I'm a Bobby fan.
Good
man.
To you. Take. Come on. God damn it. This album.
No. Bobby had the we're talking album. About Keith Sweat underappreciated.
Bobby had a better album. The question is, who had a better career?
Look, that's 90. That's 90.
It's not questionable.
Well, I think Bobby had a better career,
stop
too.
Stop it.
Because you got to count New Edition.
Stop it.
No.
I'm not counting that.
Keith Sweat go right now and sell out a show right now.
Keith Sweat was here last night.
Did he sell out?
Probably not.
Probably so.
Yes.
You know who wouldn't sell out?
Bobby
you
can't sell out by himself.
My house? Bobby Brown.
If you brought Bobby Brown in here, he'd probably sell out.
No, he wouldn't.
No, Keith Sweat can sell out by himself, though. Real
if you
shit,
told Bobby man. Brown to come to your house, enough niggas would come over.
Dude, Keith Sweat got come, the DVD. Keith Sweat got a lot
hold
of
on,
DVD.
Time out. Yes. Keith Sweat's going on a fucking shelf. If you brought, this is a nice size house.
Yeah.
I've been all throughout this motherfucker. If you called and said, hey, Bobby Brown's over here.
Look,
it's gonna look like Field of Dreams outside.
No. What's fucked up is I'm gonna be the dude with the motherfucking orange jacket on, charging motherfuckers the parking shit.
We got the Indy Lot. We know I'm hood adjacent. We got the Indy Lot next door. We good.
Hey, Bobby Brown 50. Came
I've been having motherfuckers pull up on the grass 50.
Hey, I've come over here for way lesser things than Bobby Brown being over here.
Oh, dude.
So, I mean,
you can get a fucking H-Town over here without Dino that died, and I would sell that bitch out over here.
H-Town
without Dino, because Dino died, which is the lead singer.
H-Town
is that deal too.
Dude, H-Town was it? Who is the, let's keep it this R&B area. Who's the best R&B group, because that was the whole thing, they had the bracket. Who's the best R&B group of the 90s, in your eyes?
In the 90s.
I think it's really only three to four groups that you can even have in this discussion.
Well, first of all, there's no groups you can have in discussion other than
Boys the Men.
Jodeci.
And Boys the Men.
Jodeci.
I say Jodeci. No. But I mean, because you can't deny Boys the Men hits, though.
Jodeci. Jodeci.
No, my personal favorite is Jodeci. But then you also put in the women's side, though, In Vogue and SWV for me. On the woman's side.
Both of them.
I'm saying on the woman's side, if you did a woman's side.
The funny thing is that when I think about the 90s and I think about a song I've heard, even though I don't like the song anymore because I've heard it too many times, the group from the 90s whose song I hear more than any other group from the 90s is fucking No Diggity. I hear
Black
that.
Street, yeah, but Black Sheep's obviously not bigger. Though.
No,
they're not bigger.
They're not bigger, but that just goes to the strength. And they won the same when they lost Dave House.
What I'm saying though is that just goes to the strength of why I'm always careful about the impression that like one fucking big ass song can make, because that'll misrepresent what the 90s was really all about.
But we
No Diggity any bigger song?
Yo, that song.
Yeah.
Yo, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's not close. I mean, that's not their best song. Is it?
No Diggity got to that type of big where you borderline say that doesn't belong to us anymore.
But
it's on like Now version 79 through 85.
But No Diggity was before they had your boy. What's your boy that sang on the first? It was after they had your boy on the first album.
Dave Hollister left. And then dropped the
what's that, Before I Let You Go? And
Tonight
he was like Ricky Bell in that motherfucker coming out of nowhere and just still.
He was the lead singer.
Ricky Bell was the fourth best singer.
He was second.
Definitely behind Ralph and Johnny.
Okay.
100% sure.
I was thinking about all the way through. It's hard for me to.
Okay. But we just going to give credit for the work that he put in. Bobby was more important than Ricky. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely behind Bobby.
So when I look back at Bobby in that group, I mean, Bobby's presence mattered, but Bobby wasn't really featured on a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, but he was that grimy ass cat they needed to push him over the edge.
Yep, they had to get that hood over the too.
Bobby was all about it. If anybody's lived their art, it's Bobby Brown.
Yeah, you need that.
If anybody has went out here and put the work in and lived his life, it's Bobby Brown. And maybe that's what it's all about for me.
Well,
I like authentic cats.
We're going to have to
end this conversation.
Yeah. Let's go into this nice. Beyonce, because we're going to keep it music.
We need to do emails at the end of the show.
Yeah, we're going to do them, because we're going to keep it.
Now, I want to be clear. I want to have a definitive answer that Jodeci is the best group of the night.
Yes, I'm with
okay,
it.
Okay, I need
I'm with
no,
I'm with it.
I need
100%,
that in my life.
100%.
All right,
I'm going to still 100%. Go with Bloods and Crips.
Well, that's fine, but Power Love going to take you so far.
Power Love. Steady dipping. Steady dipping on you so far.
For real.
Who's the best group of the 80s?
Ready for the World.
All genres.
Ready for the World.
But R&B girl? More than New Edition?
Yeah, Ready for the World.
No!
Tonight is my favorite song of all time, other than everything Prince ever made.
Ah, so Prince fucking collection is his favorite song of all time.
Everything Prince did, and Tonight.
Oh, speaking. Nah, I can't say Ready for the World. The best R&B group of the 80s?
Mel Riley said, it's getting late. Why are you still here, girl? Have you made up your mind?
Yeah, I remember when Melvin Riley tried to give you hood in the 90s.
Yeah.
Whose is it?
Get on.
He had a little motherfucking stuff looking like
a little blue apple.
No shirt on, bent down and shit. He had a song, Whose Is It?
Yeah. Yours. Hey, that song went hard, though.
Hey, no, I got that shit on my mother's playlist, nigga, right now. I ain't gonna front. Shout out to Melvin Riley. He had to cut that curl off. I was like, yo, I'm gonna do this MC Hammer shit.
Yeah, Riley went hard.
So, Beyonce, is she the best performer of all time? All
right, let's set the table for why this even matters.
Because of Coachella.
So, let's talk about it. Yeah. Because I woke up on Sunday morning, like... Did the other tower fall or what happened? Because people was going crazy. Like I'm seeing, I'm seeing Beyonce coat of arms on Instagram. I'm like, what the hell is this? First of all, y'all are using all the wrong letters to spell her name, like some true marks. But
yeah, she made her sorority. Did you see the performance? Doug?
I've seen highlights of it.
Yeah,
I didn't care enough to watch the whole thing.
I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan like that. No, like, I respect, I know she's
dope. I respect her game now.
Yeah, but it's not like I want to listen to a Beyonce joint.
So, I mean, but I woke up and I didn't even realize she was going to be at Coachella like that. But
oh, no, it was a big deal because my wife and her friends was trying to figure, my wife didn't even like Beyonce much, but they was trying to figure out like, yo, they thought it was going to be a full, because at first they said it was going to be a full Disney Channel reunion. That was what got people
like
on board.
Oh, no,
it was going to be like the new Edition joint. Everybody's except for Ferrer.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous to try to put together.
I didn't holler at her. My boy used to holler at her, so that's not my.
You could tell me there was a whole Destiny's Child reunion coming on. I would be like, so Beyonce's still gonna sing everything, right?
But Latoya has got a good pocket.
Latoya fine. Latoya, that's what I thought was fine back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, back in the day, she was crushing everybody. To me, I was like, well, what's this Beyonce woman? Latoya's banging.
Right. I didn't realize how dope Beyonce was until like that, what's that?
Bootylicious?
Say My Name video and all that shit. And I was like, yo, this little yellow bopper is something else. But anyway, I looked and I was like, damn, Beyonce did something because the world looks like it's at a standstill this morning. So I took a look at it and I peeped and I was like, damn, all right, cool. Good for Beyonce. Way to do your thing, get yourself out there. Again, because, you know, anytime she steps out, it's going to be an event. I mean, Kanye tweeted 5 times this week and people are losing their minds over what he's talking about. So some people can just do that and it just happens that way. But it's, oh my God, Anthony Davis is crazy. We're watching the playoffs while we're doing this show, too.
Well, I told you, let's have the TV off.
No, it's good. It's fine. They're up by 40. I had to remark on that. They're up by 40 in the playoffs.
God, no, he's really, that's a real thing.
but anyway, though, so I looked at it and I said, I started seeing people remarking about Beyonce being a better entertainer than Michael Jackson.
Well, that's stupid.
And they jumped her ahead of Prince and Janet, too. Well, that's stupid. Which is a whole other thing.
So here's what I'll say, because that's 100% wrong. Here's the thing. No shade on Beyonce because she's a dope-ass performer. But I feel like the pressure to perform in front of white people at Coachella, because that's what it is, mainly, is not the same pressure to form to perform in front of a national audience where you know everybody's watching you on TV. And she shits on the Oscars too. Like, I mean, not the Oscars, but the Grammys. Like, she shits on everything she does. But I feel like at the time when Mike was doing what Mike was doing, I feel like there was no comparison to it. And keep in mind, like, dude, we're talking about Michael Jackson. Prince plays his own instruments.
I put Prince and MJ.
Like, when you fucking are keeping notes playing 3 different instruments while you're singing and dancing, that shit's more pressure on you. Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation tour looks like every time I see Beyonce porn.
Yo, one of the best music videos dancing wise is All Right to me.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the whole thing. I'm talking about like the choreography, like everything, like All Right. I've not seen Beyonce do no All Right.
And for real, man, I talk shit about Prince all the time. Like, that's my favorite. And he is my favorite, like, artist of all time. But Freddie Mercury is my favorite vocalist. So if you want to come with a dope-ass clutch performance, have AIDS, don't tell the world about it yet, and go to the AIDS live performance and have Queen do that performance and the way they shitted on that, people don't know that. Look at the World Live AIDS performance of, like, 84 when Queen performs. And Freddie Mercury's so it's like
Freddie Mercury's performance at Live Aid was one of the greatest performances in music history.
So that's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is Beyonce is the shit. But let's not just like pass the torch for greatest performance of all time because she did it at Coachella.
Yeah,
and it was good.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Like,
numbers. I like to do the numbers thing though. Her last number. Y'all know what year her last number one was?
I thought it was fucking Lemonade. I don't know. I don't know.
Number one rappers. Single. Number one single. Last time our number one single was 2007. It's last time our number one for last number one single was.
I'm actually surprised about that because she's made some bomb ass hits.
I'm saying that's her number one single. Last number one single was 2007.
When's her last number one album?
Lemonade. Well, I'm assuming yeah, like everyone.
I put more stock in the album.
Yeah, I do. Too.
But we got think. But no. I'm saying the single is because you're performing that when you look at that level like that. Mike's last number one single leap was You're Not Alone when he was like 38.
And I don't even like Michael Jackson. That's what's so crazy.
But I'm saying if you compare like age wise.
Hey, excuse me. I'm saying we gotta stop. Mm-hmm. Let's go into this.
It's like Tupac, Biggie, Nas, Jay-Z. Like when you love one of them so much, you just
see, and like I want to do a deep dive here because I don't even like Prince and Michael Jackson. I'm aware of both of them, and they're two of my top five artists of all time. But I don't even look at them as the same thing.
You don't, but they were aware of one another and competed with
oh,
one another.
Oh, they definitely
well, yeah, absolutely.
Because Prince so, was being bad.
It's like Nas and Jay-Z, they have different styles, but they compete. For their own reasons, they compete with one another.
Well, yeah. You got to compete.
Because Prince was beyond bad.
Yeah.
Prince
was
beyond bad. Well, no, but you have to compete with your contemporaries. So I understand that.
I feel like that if...
But for me, like, one of them didn't carry me one or the other way.
I feel like they thought they were in competition, and I grew up as a Prince fan. So for me, Mike Jackson was just not that shit. I've never owned a Michael... You see all my records in there? There's no Michael Jackson albums in there.
Yeah.
I've never owned a Michael Jackson... If you go to my iTunes, I've never owned... My daughter's like, dude, like, you don't have any Michael Jackson? No, I don't fucking fuck with Michael Jackson. Plus, later on, I found he likes little boys. But...
You think that's true, man?
Yes, dude. I think that he was a weird dude who was raised in a fucked up environment.
Do you think he's Teddy Perkins?
Shout out to Atlanta. Shout out to Atlanta, right?
So you finally called up Atlanta. Atlanta. Did you say before you wouldn't caught up?
No, yeah, I'm caught up now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Atlanta. I feel like he was in a fucked up situation. It's not all his fault, but I feel like there's a child that was abused at the hands of Michael Jackson, and that gives me a warm reason not to fuck with him. Because if you want to say Prince is some androgynous fuck who was fucking animals and women and men, cool. But he was doing that shit. It was kosher. It was like,
consensual.
Yeah, right. Now. I just Nas and Jay-Z, same thing. It's like I understand Jay-Z's ability and talents and his greatest hits. I understand all that, but I just don't fuck with him.
We are diametrically opposed when it comes to this. This is very interesting. I never knew this.
I'm a Nas fan too, though.
I
could go 10 years without listening to
Nas. Who else did I say? Oh, Biggie and Pac.
Yeah.
Man, Pac's not in my top 10 rappers of all time.
See, dude,
I get into people so hard about this shit.
I'm a Pac dude.
This hat and cap rhyming ass motherfucker. If everybody says, there's a difference in you saying Pac was influential and he did all these great things. If you want to say that, fine. But if you're just taking straight lyrics and what he's saying, you either have to say delivery is the most important thing I've ever heard in my life.
But see, this is the thing with Pac, though. But this thing with Pac, though, is that you don't know anything about Biggie's life and who he is and what he thinks about.
I just know that motherfucker.
And he can rhyme his ass off.
If you commit a murder.
But Pac, you know who he is, though, where he is.
It depends on what you value from your music.
Yeah. The lawyer you hire, do you give a fuck about what his life story is? Or do you give a fuck
about the music? No, but you're talking about the music. We're talking about music.
I'm talking about good rappers. I feel like as a rapper, Tupac is not in the.
But see, but that's juxtaposition of two. You like in Nas though, because Nas
is a great rapper.
Nas is a great rapper, but he also gives you personally to what his life is. No. Jay-Z don't either though. First time Jay-Z really did is this fucking 444 shit.
No, that's not true. But Jay-Z.
Yes, it is. That motherfucker stays surface level for fucking years.
Jay-Z can flow.
No. I'm someone knowing about his life though. He stays surface level. Like
I just give a fuck.
I'm fucking bitches. We get.
Well, I don't really care to know what happens in a dude's home.
I'm like, dog, are you fucking clever? Can you put words together that I don't put the. Are you Eminem, but you happen to be black?
Yeah.
That would make it better for me. Eminem would be the greatest rapper of all time for me if he was black. Are you Eminem, but have a little bit of black in you? That's all I needed. If Eminem was great, daddy,
yeah,
black,
I don't care. I've never really been one that really wants much from somebody's personal life. Like, so that doesn't make you a better artist for me. I just want for you to be clever. I want your wordplay to be on.
But see, in your music, I want to get something personal. If I want to make you one of my favorites, I need to get something personal from you within your music, though. That I get some kind of insight that might be like, damn, I didn't think about that, or I think about this. Biggie didn't make me think about no different shit.
He didn't mean. He made a whole song about his life and kicking it, and what's the difference between him and his crew. And
He made one or two songs, though, man. We talking about
Pac
fucking
put his... I got a story to tell.
He,
He told the whole story
about how
he...
Pop laid his whole life out and all his music for
you. That's wanting something different from that artist. So what that artist did for you is different than that. I don't want every artist to be like that.
Hey, man. Pop and Dr. Seuss are the same person.
No, you're not, dude.
Same person.
I haven't seen a picture of Dr. Seuss in a long time.
Go listen to Got Your Mind Right.
Dr. Seuss. No. If you put Dr. Seuss rhymes... I wish I had a beat maker right now so I can put Dr. Seuss rhymes over Pac beats. No, and it would sound the same.
No, dog. But the thing is, but Pac also teaches you a life lesson. He worked hard in every motherfucker. He did all this shit. Biggie fucking...
Niggas didn't work. Biggie didn't work.
Biggie didn't work.
Nobody has worked.
Biggie didn't work.
So Biggie went selling?
No, Biggie did not work. No, I'm talking about work. I'm talking about putting out music and like being in the studio, being a part of craft, being a part of... Biggie was on the next lazy great. Nigga.
When you great, you could be lazy. No, you ain't... When you're not great, you gotta work
Biggie's
harder.
Great, yes. But he's not better than Pac. Come on, man.
I think that y'all two look for things different from hip-hop. Like, you like the grind hip-hop, Daryl. You like grind hip-hop. You like guys that are closer to like that. This is what my life is all
like
about.
Like, Fonte is my favorite MC right now, period.
That's not bad.
And he fucking puts his shit out there.
Brandon
likes superior
rappers. You enjoy words.
So you say Fonte's not superior rapper?
He's good, but we're not talking about
superior. He's superior. Fonte is a superior rapper.
He's not superior.
Let me ask y'all this. If you could get in your car and turn on any hip hop album, what would it be?
Right now. Just randomly on the
show. Yeah, just put an album on. Three albums. You gotta drive across town on Saturday. You gotta
Life After Death for sure. Ironically, probably Me Against the World. I could have kept that to myself. And then not have your argument. And I'm just trying
I was gonna say Ready to Die for Me though.
Probably It Was Written. If I just had to ride to a whole
show. I'm a Stillmatic dude because music is all about where you are in your life though at the time and where you're going through. I got Illmatic on some shit like, yo, like my cousin was like, yo, you want to get some music? I was like, yo, get it. I had to get cursing out, but I was like 13, 14 when Illmatic came out. Just grab me that Nas. Because all I heard was, this is yours. I just got the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And on the low, if you're talking about like that, I mean, I might go about the Bone though. Like, I was a big Bone fan as a kid.
But you didn't like Notorious B.I.G. taking their style and making them look stupid on it.
No, he killed it.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
He killed it. He killed that shit.
So we're on the same page.
No. Biggie is one of the best ever.
I'm glad.
But I'm saying Pac influenced the culture way more than Biggie did.
Guys, I'm glad we had this moment. That we could get that.
But no, we can get back to this Beyonce.
So first of
MJ
all,
shit.
So we agree. Beyonce, this wasn't the biggest performance of all time. We all agree on this, right?
Yeah, so here's the thing.
The better debate is Janet versus Beyonce to me.
I want to stay on topic. The conversation that people are talking about right now is the Michael Jackson, Beyonce
thing. That's some bullshit.
I want to understand. First of all, this to me just reeks of I like Kobe more than Michael Jordan, and you can't tell me that Michael Jordan was better than Kobe Bryant because I didn't see Michael Jordan play, so I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. That's what this shit reeks of.
Thugs cried to Michael Jackson. Thugs.
Here's the thing. Michael Jackson. Here's what I appreciate what Beyonce does. I think that she's a great performer. I don't think she's an amazing vocalist. I think she makes entertaining music, and that she's a very balanced and coordinated performer.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson is the greatest live performer of all time.
I won't argue with that.
Like, period. So when you start to go into the realm of saying that, you gotta show me something that Beyonce does that nobody else is better than her at ever. Like, nobody's ever done
she
that.
She just played instruments. She doesn't do...
So here's
she
the thing.
She don't write her shit. She
here's the thing I'm
going
to do. Here's the thing I'm going
to
say.
Neo already exposed her on her shit. Remember she tried to say she wrote Irreplaceable or whatever? And Neo like, yo, motherfucker. Like, no, I wrote that shit.
So here's the thing.
So what the fuck did she do?
Michael Jackson wasn't...
Bad shit wrote for them, but Mike did at some point, though, switch to writing his own shit, though.
But my thing is, I don't care about that. I'm talking about performance. Michael Jackson was dancing. Wasn't nobody out there dancing for Michael Jackson. Sure. Michael Jackson was changing the world with music videos that he was in and with literal live dance performances. Sure. Beyonce has never changed the world with any performance she's done.
Now, I will bump on that, though. I think she's influenced black culture more than Michael Jackson.
Influencing, but I don't care about black culture in this regard. I'm talking about pure, straight-up entertainment. I love black culture. But whatever. Michael Jackson also influenced way more artists than Beyonce did. Way more black artists as a whole than Beyonce.
But also at the same time, but, like, my whole thing is that we gotta let Beyonce breathe though for
but here's the thing.
We can see where her influence will
but
be.
But if though. We're gonna make that comparison right now, you better be ready to step up to the table with the weight of that comparison. Don't make that comparison if you're not ready for the weight that comparison carries.
Yeah.
So here's the thing I'm saying. If this is what people are gonna talk about, I'm gonna talk about the context that they're speaking in. Because they don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand what they're doing. That's what I'm saying, people to watch Kobe hoist up 65 shots and be, oh man, Michael Jordan never do that. Yeah. Like, shut up. First of all, if you don't remember what it's like to pick up a rotary phone or have a cassette tape or a record, don't talk to me about history if you don't have a respect for both sides of it. And this conversation about saying that Beyonce is anywhere near the park of an overall entertainer, Michael Jordan, I mean that Michael, well, actually him too,
yeah.
But Michael Jackson is ridiculous. It's just, it's a lack of respect for predecessors. And I bet you Beyonce would look at it and be like,
nah,
she would be like, hold up now. That's not even nothing you need to be talking about because I'm playing a different game than him. So you got to let people, the comparison game is fun because I think comparisons are fun for people to make and fun for people to root things in. But some things just don't have to be. Both of those things can live in their own era. And I want to bring it to your point. Yeah. It's way easier to talk about her next to Janet Jackson or somebody like that than Michael Jackson. I mean, it's not and, even and, the and, same and sensation.
Honestly, I would think Janet is damn near rivaling or better than her, though. You got to think of, like, on a totalitarian level, like look at everything, you know, like, back in the day, though, you talking about, like, Janet only had a certain amount of dancers, though. It's a dude that was on Twitter. You see the dude on Twitter that was like, yo, I'm going to work with Beyonce at some point in dancing. Dude, 2 years later, though, ended up working with Beyonce. Back in the day, though, Janet had, like, 50 dancers you could choose from because that's the where the game was. You got more opportunity to get... You go on YouTube right now, though, and be like, all right, well, cool, I'm going to hit them up, though. I'm going to be... They're going to be my dancers. It's going to be dope. You got more access to that. All this different thing. And also, I want to give a shout out to my cousin, Scrap Frierson, rest in peace. He also he talked about how he went to Thriller concert, came out and robbed some niggas, though, and that's how he knew that it was a dope concert and everything. And he robbed some people and everything. No, the true story, shout out to Scrap, though, man, that's my cousin. He robbed some cats, though, after the Thriller concert at Soldier Field in Chicago. It was like, yo, that's how I knew Mike was on point, though, nigga. I got some good money out of niggas, though. That's how much money motherfuckers sitting out there with, though. We robbing motherfuckers. I'm coming out motherfuckers.
This is an incredibly field. Black tale.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Scrap, man. Rest in peace, though, man. Like,
and his name is Scrap.
Yeah, Scrap Frierson, man. Steve is his real name, Scrap.
Scrap Frierson sounds like somebody that you would fight on a game. Yeah, like, he's fought his way up from the bottom.
He died on street shit, though. He died in regular life, though. He will put on his face is Scrap Frierson.
But that name makes it sound
Scrap
like
Frierson, okay.
Like we gotta go
this
around
is
the corner.
This is a 50-year-old man on Scrap Frierson.
We gotta go around the corner and get Scrap. Scrap. Look, Scrap Frierson.
What's so messed up is my wife met Scrap and she was like, I was like, yeah. Scrap was like, yo, I'm trying to get a bus coming out. She got a wedding note. She's like, is he coming? Cause Scrap is Scrap. You got thinking he had a jerry curl back in the day. Everything's stereotypical. Did you think about a hood dude in the hood? That's Scrap. Scrap was that dude. Or he's like, yo, we don't get a bus, though. He died before I got married and shit, man. But, man, dude, Scrap. I wanted Scrap. I would have paid for Scrap to come in on my own just to see him be in the wedding and be like, yo, this ain't even popping up. Ain't no heralds here. Ain't no. What y'all doing with this bougie shit?
But Scrap's dead.
Scrap is passed, man. Scrap
rest
passed,
in peace
man.
To Scrap.
Scrap passed from liver cancer, man.
Mm.
Scrap.
Rest in peace to Scrap.
So let's go into this Starbucks shit, man.
Alright.
We settled the fact that Beyonce and Michael Jackson shouldn't be compared.
They're not comparable.
Dude, man.
I just want to make sure we were good.
Because there's other, like you said, you could put a Freddie Mercury. It's a lot of performance that you could put in there and all that.
It's just like comparing a spaceship to a fucking car. Like, come on,
dog,
let's be serious.
A nice car. A car that does some cool stuff.
Yeah, let's be serious.
But I mean, it's a spaceship.
Yeah, let's be serious. No. Michael Jackson, who I don't like, is the greatest performer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Prince, who I love, is close second.
Number two.
And played all the instruments.
I put Janet. You got to put Janet.
Janet is a close third.
Yeah.
Freddie is a close fourth. David Bowie is a close fifth.
That's what I'm saying. We're missing people.
Yeah. Like,
oh man, if we're gonna start doing that every time, now we're starting to talk about stage presence Beatles and stuff. Well, the Beatles were okay.
No, stage
the
Beatles have their shit.
But the Rolling Stones got a bigger stage presence than the Beatles.
Too, Aerosmith, yeah, for sure. Aerosmith, too.
Mick Jagger's a piece.
Yeah, for sure. Aerosmith,
too. My point is, when it's all said and done, Beyonce Aerosmith will be up in the top three, but she's not fucking with Michael Jackson or Prince ever.
No.
Sorry. Never a day.
And I love, I mean, Beyonce, I appreciate everything she's fucking doing for the culture. Like, yo, like,
Beyonce is dope, and what she's doing for women of color, yes. Like, she's dope. No,
I got mad props with Beyonce. Yeah, nothing I'm saying dope. Right now is meant to drag her individually. I'm just saying that this is more of a credit to how dope Michael Jackson is opposed to bring her down.
I need to get up and get a drink before we start talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I wanna. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I wanna.
So it used to be a surprise for y'all. Or y'all already heard it, actually. Let's go into this Starbucks shit, man.
Alright.
Legally, this is a lawyer shit, though. Because I'm all right, interested.
So let's do this.
I'm interested.
Here's what I need to do. Though. I need to approach this two different angles. Mm-hmm. Alright, so I'm going to represent on one side the motherfucker that's in Starbucks sitting around trying to mind his black ass business. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have, for a brief second, we're going to have Brandon be a legitimate legal counsel. That doesn't give you that advice that your homeboy could give you, only he's really authorized to give it to.
Right.
So
like, nigga, go and take that shit to trial.
First and foremost, if I'm just meeting up with somebody in Starbucks and I need to use the bathroom and somebody comes to tell me I can't use that bathroom and I gotta get out, oh, Jim Crow is over. You're not finna hit me with that. That's not about to happen.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the most extra salt and vinegary version of niggardry from me that's possible. Mm-hmm. So I can understand where six officers might be needed to confront that. However, legally speaking, where do we sit on this? Because in some regards, can they or can they not ask you to leave the premises at any point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a private business in a private space. Mm-hmm. So anytime that you have a guest there that you feel is unwelcome, that's trespass. You ask them to leave and they don't, so you can call the police because technically that's a misdemeanor crime. Mm. Technically. Now, the way those brothers handled that is commendable beyond reproach.
Because they ain't wild out. They wasn't cussing nobody out.
They handled that in a way that was good for black men, the culture, us, everything. Like, the way they did that shit was, like, basically, all right, we're probably afraid for our lives. Because they probably were, man. Anytime police officers walk up on you, you're afraid. So we're probably afraid, but we're going to kind of be condescending about it because we know we didn't do anything. Plus, fuck y'all. And these white people are rooting for us, so we got this shit on tape. So fuck y'all. Legally, I mean, if it's a private business, then you can kick anybody out you want. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be repercussions for it.
Yeah, you can do what you want to do up front, but then on the back end, there's going to definitely be backlash from it.
Right.
Now, what was the... the thing I haven't seen is, what's the makeup of this manager?
Was she white. She wasn't...
White. What's white the woman. Age?
She's... looks like she's in her third... Well... White people like 10 years old, so she's probably 45.
So she's probably...
No, she's 35, but she looks 45, so she's probably 35.
Okay.
Or 20.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, they aged... A lot of them often age in avocado years, as I call it. I assumed as much. I assumed as much, because there's very few demographics that have as many rights and privileges and are more worried about them, unless they're intrigued with the African-American species. And then they're willing to briefly put that stuff on ice. But if they need that privilege back, they will go and get it back.
Right.
And that's why I will only ever deal with it.
I think if you're in Philly, too, that's a black-ass city.
Yeah, but they weren't in a... I don't think they were in a black-ass area, though. And so, I feel like...
I think they were in Germantown, which isn't black-ass.
The demographics of that Starbucks... I read that somewhere. Like, the demographics were, like... There was a highly policed area for, like, racial profiling...
Oh, and, she said there was a whole bunch of different things going on. Though.
Yeah, and I mean, dude, at the end of the day, even if these motherfuckers weren't gonna buy shit, what the fuck difference does it make? I know it's been said over and over again, but people being Starbucks, chilling.
I've never bought anything.
I've seen people go there and just study and never buy anything. So is it because these motherfuckers didn't have books on them? Is it because they didn't have a laptop on them?
Like, and they were doing a real estate deal, too. That's the fucked up part about the game.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. But on the flip side, though, because I always play devil's advocate, mm-hmm. that whole, like, initial response of let's boycott Starbucks and buy black.
Yeah, but you going the other side. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, can I ask a question? I would like to ask a question that I actually asked on Facebook this week. And not surprising enough to me, it didn't get as many... as much interaction as I thought it could have, because it might be a bit of a think piece. So, in good company here that I know can actually put thought to it, and you know, and hopefully everybody listens has a response as well. Here was my thing. I put this out yesterday, Thursday, and Wednesday at 8:50. So I was a sociology grad in college. That was when my degree came in. So you know, I study the interaction of society against something that happens in that and action that happens and society's reaction to it. So here's the thing. Here's my Facebook status. The sociology grad in me wonders about the Starbucks situation and response, both from the company and from the public subsequently. For curiosity's sake, I have a question. Is there a suitable response for racially tense situations in the corporate sphere in today's climate? And the reason why I say that is it seems to me that when nothing's done, it appropriately gets called out. That's fair. Absolutely. Call that out. If people don't do anything, you act like something's not wrong. However, when effort is extended, it's often deemed too many times to be too little or too late. So is there a happy medium? Is there something that we should expect to see? Has there been an ideal handling of a situation that we can say that a company has stepped up and done what we wanted to do? Because here's my issue with this, and here's what really made me wonder is, I feel like the CEO of Starbucks did as much as you could ask him to. You know, to come down himself, condemn it, you know, fire the person, and put together...
He did.
No, I thought he said it's on me though. He
took responsibility for it, but he fired her.
Yeah, she got fired. Oh. And then to close 8,000 of your stores to do a racial training session. On the other side of it, I don't think you could ever train people to, you know, about racial bias and things like that. And also the ironic thing about it is it's not going to be 8,000 people, say 5 people work there. It's not going to be 40,000 white people sitting in there. It's going to be a ton of black people mm-hmm. sitting in these meetings too. But I think that even the initiative to try to correct it, to me, seemed like that was a step in the right direction. But it really has been interesting to me that a lot of people that I have seen just seem pretty set in saying nothing's going to appease me in this situation.
That's because we're in a situation as black people, though, like any transgression against us is the end. Because like we are in a situation where like lifestyle wise, we just take every aggression as microaggression or not, we going to take it there.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you want to say, yeah, we are different type of dudes and we think and we move kind of differently. But the average person, though, just feels like the world is just fucking them up, and they don't have that cognitive dissonance to be able to like think of it on the bigger level.
And the thing that really interests me, and I agree with you, man, and the thing I really see is I see people, you know, in the public media, in the social media space, that are living good, you know, that are in a good place, but have that warrior mentality about it, and
The bigger thing is that most black people want to be white. That's the bigger thing with all this shit, though. That we want to be oppressors.
Pocket that for one
and
second.
And that's a whole other discussion.
Pocket that for one second, because I want to loop back to that. But my thing about it is, when I look at that, I'm really, really want for somebody to offer me a situation where we could say, hey, listen, that action wasn't right, but this correction was a true attempt to address the situation. And I don't think I've seen it yet. So I'm hoping that maybe there's something I've missed.
It won't happen, because whenever the action happens, you take that on a micro level and blow it up on a macro mm-hmm. level and exactly. say, well, this is a reflection on society. Mm-hmm. So what the Starbucks CEO did was perfect. His response was perfect. He can't solve it. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I don't know how many employees he has, but however many he has, he doesn't control all of their actions.
Right.
You motherfuckers in my house, I don't control all your actions. Like, it's like,
and you're right here next to
right.
me.
Right. So. Like, you can't control people's biases. I mean, you can hire someone and say they're a good employee, mm-hmm. but you can't control their biases and how they feel towards a particular sect or group. So the issue becomes, well, did the CEO of Starbucks solve racism?
I'm gonna say abundantly no.
No. So if he didn't, then everything short of that is not the proper response.
So the thing that interests me, though, is that I see the calls there in some regards where immediately people were saying Starbucks equals NFL, and I said those aren't the same things at all. The NFL tried to pave over a dandelion when it came to this, you know, and they like literally tried to say, oh no, everything's the way it always is. Enjoy the NFL, love the NFL. And the NFL screwed it up bad. I mean, screwed it up bad and still haven't done it right. A year in, have basically shown and said, hey, listen, we're good. So we'll kind of act like enough so that you don't outright hate us. But we're okay if you dislike us a little bit.
Right.
Whereas in the place for Starbucks, I see no parallel in that, because even though that action happened, I think that from a corporate response, especially on a corporation the level of Starbucks, to have that type of call and response, I think that that's as much as you can ask for, whether you agree with it actually solving anything or not. I don't think that I personally could imagine asking for a corporation to do much more than it did there.
I agree. I mean, unless you're asking them to donate money to particular causes.
But then that's a shakedown.
Beyond that, it's not their responsibility.
Right. Yeah, but that means that it's a shakedown at that point. Right. Then you were saying like, well, we just wig like how the Black Panthers were in the 70s. Right. At some point where they're like, well, we ain't gonna fuck with your shit though if you go and cut us a check. They did that to drug dealers. They did it to white establishment. Right. They be like, well, we ain't gonna not fuck y'all shit though to cut us a check. That's a shakedown.
Yeah.
You become almost an illegal organization. No, it's a right.
You just create another problem in the same space where a problem already exists.
And this is the thing, though, is that the thing is that white people just have to understand, when you call the police, it is a finite position for a black person. And that's a social thing. That ain't got shit to do with Starbucks. That is a thing that we just deal with every day as black men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when a white person calls the police, like, literally, like, yo, you got to know that's a finite position.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know what's going to happen after that. So, I may get be talk. He may be talking to me, be like, he don't feel like it, pop me.
Right.
It's a whole nother, you're seeing that they can take everyone else's lives in hand that's going on the situation. That means it's finite for you. Now, if you don't give a fuck, that's fine. Live with that. And you sit in there and brood in that. But the thing that was interesting to me about the whole thing with that is, like, you do, they damn near Patriots Saints. Them motherfuckers are going to be the damn near Stocksboro boys in a minute.
Right.
Fucking in here.
But who's that?
The guys in the
well, but did you hear about what happened today, though?
They did an interview.
Where they had the interview
with,
and there
with Michael Strahan and stuff.
Yeah, and there were people that were coming back on the other side saying that they sold short their position and they didn't address issues. Like in the
well, no, you can't expect.
Because they got a lawsuit popping, though. They can't do that.
Well, beyond that, man, you just can't expect. So it's very easy.
Like, they expected the two of them cats to step up and be like Muhammad Ali.
That's my point. It's very easy to be on social media, which I'm not, and listen to opinions all day and formulate what you want to say if you were in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these brothers. I don't know if they do or I don't know what they listen to. I don't know anything. But I do know that they took a minute before they responded, and they do have a lawsuit going, or they probably will have a lawsuit going. And, like, what do you want them to do? You want them to, like, get kicked out of Starbucks and then lead marches? Like, what the fuck? Like, these motherfuckers wasn't, they might not be pro-black. They might not be pro-culture.
One of them was a Q.
That don't mean shit. Yeah, you don't mean fucking whack-ass Qs that exist in the
world. No, I'm just saying. People make things.
And to be fair, alphas.
Yeah, no.
There aren't any whack Kappas.
Well, I mean, there's a few.
But I'm saying, my point is that the people give the emphasis of thinking like, these people are like pro-black because they are in those.
And just because you were in an organization doesn't mean that you're an activist.
But people think that, though. I'm just saying people think have that emphasis.
I think that the big lesson that I look at and I see things that I hope that people walk away from it from, and I know it's a lesson I've learned up front, is that we gotta, I would hope that we stop looking at things as being so ideally representative. You know, we look at things, say, if 1 + 1 must equal 2, you know what I'm saying? Like, this guy's black, he's part of a historically black organization, he's a person that's been oppressed in a way that many other black people have been, so the automatic concoction we have right there is that he's gonna become an activist and a leader. Well, and that's just,
everybody ain't built for
that. That ain't what everybody's about. But here's the thing. But here's the crux. Here's where I think that we're losing a lot of ground right now, is that there's a lot of people that are built that way and believe that. There's people that generally are out there doing it on the action front and doing that. God bless them for doing it, because you got to have frontline soldiers to have progress. But you also have a lot of people like BU's talking about that are doing it on social media. That are just making statements and just saying things and then going about their life, living the same way and not touching none, not putting their hands in any of that dirt. But a lot of those people are the forefront ones that are condemning people for not making these baseline statements that they make without doing anything on the other side.
Right.
And what we're doing as a people right now that's really, really bothering me is that we're driving ourselves apart from each other, because we still have that inherent black need to compete with each other as opposed to absolutely unify, or not try to find some personal gain in it. Even if it's a financial gain, even if it's just as simple of a gain of saying that I'm more woke than you, so I must be more down for the cause.
Man, black people are more capitalistic. We're more American than we are African by far. I tell people that all the time. We are more American. We are capitalistic fucking people just as much as fucking the people that we talk about as oppressors. We've been here longer.
And you know what? And the difference is that too often times, in times like this and times like the things we've done, it's us pointing the arrow at each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, because we want to be an oppressor. Most motherfuckers want to be, not what I say most, I'll say a lot of motherfuckers want to be the oppressor. Because if you look at the Civil Rights Movement wasn't for the regular common fucking black person. It was for the motherfucker that got a little bit of paper, though, that want to be like, yo, you know what? I want to be out there doing my shit in West County.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I go spend my money out there, do my shit?
And I think
why can't they go get my car, my Cadillac, and be fine with it? I want that shit, because if you gotta look at it, as soon as all those things happened, though, them motherfuckers left the hood.
Yes. Thank you. That's a big thing for me. Is
they
that
left
have,
the hood.
You
they ain't give so fuck many about
people.
This shit.
You have so many people that have made it and done well for themselves, and as soon as they do, they distance themselves from it. Like, B, you're doing better than a lot of my friends
and you're
doing stuff right
where
here.
You live at.
And you're still...
The house is dope, but you still
but
in the neighborhood.
But that's still my point. It's not like you said this and you said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go out to town and country now. Or I'm about to go out into the hills and get as far away from things as I possibly can. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just... And I'm not saying that everybody has subscribed to these things. I'm not a person that believes in absolutes. I believe in that the fact that we have options and we have variety, that's literally the ingredients and the spice of what life is. We shouldn't be the same thing. But I just think that we should be aware of the fact that when we say that somebody isn't in bed enough, or if we look at somebody that says, if you go to Starbucks at all, you a sellout, you're Uncle Tom, you're taking this way too seriously.
Right.
Way too seriously. And what you're doing is, in the big picture, is you're trying to win every argument. And by trying to win each argument, and even worse, by creating arguments, you're losing the war together. Because we can't get on the same page if we constantly are bickering.
I love the black check. I love black checking people. I do. But this black check is getting ridiculous now, though. It's like where it's like, I can't black check people no more. Like, it was a certain like 10%, 20% thing. Like, oh, I know that motherfucker on some shit. Now, we can't do that no more because you just black checking people for anything that, it's like jaywalking now. Like, motherfucker just walk around, he's like, oh, he ain't black.
Listen, man, there's a few things that I'm still
but gonna... I love black, I like be like, yo, that nigga's a motherfucking coon. I love to say that shit. Love to say he's a slave ass nigga. I love it. But now I gotta take a step back though and be like, well shit, let me evaluate this shit before I say you a slave ass nigga.
Our sponsorship capabilities on this show.
It's very, low.
Very, 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 very small.
Minimal.
They're very
look,
small.
Look, it's Shea Butter is Romeo sitting chips.
There. We yeah,
Romeo chips.
This show is gonna be sponsored by Lil Romeo rapping with my honey.
Look, rap chips. Snacks. Look, Romeo, them barbecue joints.
We might be able to stretch and get Laffy Taffy to sponsor us one day. Maybe.
We got some good sponsors in the pipeline, though, potentially, man. And they fuck what we doing.
Like Anaconda Malt Liquor?
No. Really.
Is there an Anaconda Malt Liquor?
God, well, I hope not. Because if it
have
is.
You drink, have you ever drank Master Blaster Malt Liquor?
I definitely have.
That's the one that was on the. Remember the news? It was like, it was 18% liquor.
I'm going to be honest with you. There was a point in my life
that you would have tried it.
And then there was a point in my life where I never would have tried it.
Well, no. And you're at the point right now where you
never would have tried it.
The minute you have a dollar to lose. Here's
the thing. Master's older than all of us. This some old nigga shit, though. Right. You going to put Master Blaster in, though. That motherfucker was 18% in a motherfucking tall can, nigga. So you got to think about, like, this is like Four Loko on crack. And that was in the hood.
And Cass probably got it in their garage warm as hell. That's literally
yo,
mass party, destruction.
I'm bringing
the special brew.
The special brew is in my fucking garage.
Hey, dog, I've been trying to about it.
I got the special brew in the garage.
Right,
I bought the four last.
Right,
ain't
I'm
the last
cool
one.
Bring that shit.
Dude, I'm going to bring a crate through. Special brew, St. Ives. I bought four crates from a factory in Pennsylvania.
And
it sent through to my crib. It's in my basement. My wife been on like, the fuck? We gotta get this shit about the basement. Like, yo, I gotta have a special time. I'm bringing a crib.
I got some white Hennessy from the islands.
There you go.
I'll bring down. We'll live both ends as far apart of the spectrum as we possibly
so
can.
So, Brandon, for your, as a lawyer, if me and Matt came in a case like that, would you be like, nigga, we finna get this motherfucking paper? As a lawyer,
yeah,
would you
no,
be like,
I mean, like,
would you think about, are you like,
you know that you're gonna win, you know that when you sue, you're not gonna win a lawsuit per se, but when you sue, you've automatically won because they don't want, Starbucks doesn't want that bullshit. That being said, it depends on what you're going for. I mean, are you going to make a stance? Are you trying to, you know, dig in your pockets?
I'm trying to get that paper, though. I'm just saying, me and Matt, strapping men, though. We got bills to pay.
You file lawsuits, you call some news outlets, and you...
No, I'm talking, we are in the exact same situation, though, and we like, yo, Brandon, yo, them motherfuckers, you got to bail us out, though. These motherfuckers, fuck, well, they ain't even get bailed out. They fucking got a ticket or some shit. They put them in cuffs and they let them go.
You don't get bailed. That's a misdemeanor. I mean,
yeah, but I'm saying, well, for you, are you like, you know, are you like, yo, y'all niggas, y'all don't say shit. Y'all don't go on no TV, don't do nothing.
Well,
they don't even advise y'all on this shit.
I think that whenever you're in police custody, you shouldn't say anything. And then once you get out.
I'm talking about them cats going on TV. Yeah, as a lawyer, are you like,
I would just
damn,
say chill.
Man, like, y'all,
I would say let's file a suit. Let's do some coaching. And then put you out there. And let's put you with Marcus Strahan.
Could we do the podcast?
Oh, you saying you
could definitely do the podcast.
Could we do the podcast?
Yeah, the podcast would have to happen. Okay. The podcast would be real.
It's got to continue. It's got to continue.
It'd be more ignorant. it'd be more ignorant. Like, we'd be going over the flavors of Starbucks. We'd be going over everything.
And
like,
do I show back up at the Starbucks on that Monday?
You have to go every day. You have to get a coffee there every single day. Like, people like boycott Starbucks. I'm like, motherfucker, nah. Like, no. They should be there. They should go there every day. They should have their friends come. In fact, what they should do, because now they got leverage, is throw a party. You know, I'm the king of
fucking. No.
They should throw a Starbucks party.
But I was telling you about the record player thing, though, that the dude had that goes around your record or bring your record out there.
They should just nigga it out. They should just, for real,
you playing Master P.
So what I would do is I would be like, check this out. The rules are changing in this Starbucks. First of all, the only thing you're selling is black coffee from now on.
No more blonde.
No blonde anything.
No mocha latte, none of that shit.
All these little bullshit snacks, I need this gone.
And I need right more wrap snacks.
I want to bring in...
And wings.
I want wings.
Yo.
I want Starbucks wings.
Had wings...
Yo.
They
would give me... I've never paid for anything at Starbucks.
Sell out so fast.
Niggas would be in there.
I'm
gonna be right here by the crib. Niggas would be there.
Can I get that? Can I get that cinnamon macchiato and that
six piece
that 6-piece Szechuan barbecue?
That 6-piece Szechuan.
They'll be like, yes, yeah, you got that. What's your name? Lamont. Now, what people need to do is, if you're gonna really troll Starbucks, you should go inside Starbucks and give the blackest possible names. Like, go, like, read a SEC media guide from football season. Ooh. And just give those names and make them call them out. Markievicz?
But the thing is, you gotta remember the name you put up there and shit, though. You sitting over there talking on the phone. Shit, I did say
that was me.
DeBarcalo? DeBarcalo. And they're just... And they're just like, oh, that's me. Just make them call out those names. Like,
but again, man, like Mark,
say, what's your name? My name's Marcus Garvey. Make them speak the whole thing out. Marcus Garvey. I'd be like, thank you, Starbucks. Sojourner Truth. Thank you, Starbucks.
I'm sure there's niggas.
I just feel like it's not an indictment of Starbucks that they had an employee that was a...
No, I don't either.
And that's the thing.
I don't either. I think here's the thing. I think that we absolutely have a great time right now to use the sword. But let's not cut down every tree just because we got a nice sword.
Exactly.
Like, choose it when you need to do it. That stuff on the NFL.
That's because everybody want to be a fucking oppressor, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's fucking.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Now, motherfuckers want to be a fucking oppressors, man. We do, man. It's human nature to be fucking oppressors.
That's why no ass whooping is like a black mama's ass whooping. Because for the longest time, black women was at the lowest part of the totem pole possible.
Everybody wants to be oppressed. Like, black men, we want to be fucking oppressors of a lot of women, man. Let's keep it fucking 100.
I don't need more. I relate to your sentiment, but I don't anymore.
I mean, come on, man. We ain't gonna put your business in the
street. No, don't put my business out there. Go ahead.
Exactly.
I'm not doing it. I don't have any business. I wish I had business. I'm not as cool as...
So we're going to jump in some emails real quick, and we got to do that, and then we'll get up out of here.
Hey, hold on. Before we do that, do you got a Ralph Tresvant candidate?
Yes, you do have to do a Ralph Tresvant candidate. Right. Someone had been eclipsed. He was supposed to be the man, and he was eclipsed by people around him.
So he said Ralph Tresvant was supposed to be the man.
Hey, yo, Jesus low-key did that to the Romans, and they was pissed.
What do you mean?
They was eclipsed by...
Like, the Roman Empire was supposed to have the power, and then Jesus
was like...
No, that'd
be Spartacus.
Was like, nah,
dog. Spartacus was a real person.
Ooh.
He was.
As opposed to...
Oh, man, I'm going there, my bad.
No, I'm going to say,
but I went there, though, saying, like, Spartacus was a real person.
No, he was. I mean, that's I'm agreeing with you.
Jesus, there is a historical Jesus, and he was there.
Yeah, but I feel like he wasn't as dope as people over there.
Does it bother you that Jesus was probably 5'5"?
No, it bothers me that Jesus was probably the white man walking the earth being real cool about his life and just like having... I feel like Jesus was David Koresh.
I feel like y'all are looking at Jesus like I look at Keith Sweat.
Well, Keith Sweat the same.
I bet you Jesus could blow.
Probably, but...
I mean, he can't, though, because he didn't exist.
Jesus save you?
Anybody can save me.
I don't think anybody can, especially not you.
Wow. Depending on your situation.
Of everybody in this room, this is the actual person who actually has saved me. Yeah. So, literally has saved me multiple times. Did. Yeah, we get him and Mike Walton in the room. You got all 10 of my strikes. Yeah. You get Mike Walton and Brandon in the room. You got all 10 of my strikes that I've
Shout
had.
Out to Mike Walton, man. We got to make sure he listens to the podcast too. Shit.
Mike would be like, you niggas is ignorant. And keep listening.
I would say...
Oh, shit. We got a guest, though. Shit. What Jump on in, man. What Step in here, man. Jump on in. We on the podcast, man.
What up?
What's good with you, boy? Oh, shit. We got guests, everything.
What's good with you, boy? I would say Teddy Pendergrass and Harold Melvin thought that Teddy Pendergrass was...
No, that's a good one.
I think Harold Melvin thought he was bigger
than Teddy Pendergrass. All right, sit down. We got a conference. You got to get in on this one, though.
I got too many people in the car. I know y'all over here killing it. Y'all got to take care of.
Tell everybody say what's up.
We'll do. Good to see you.
I'll see you this weekend. I would say Harold Melvin thought he was better than Teddy Pendergrass, and I think Eddie Van Halen thought he was bigger than David Lee.
Right, that's a great one. That's a good that's one. A well, great
I thought
one.
Both of them were great because I said them.
Yeah, that's a great one.
There's that.
Did Paul McCartney rock Trezvant John Lennon by taking the second half of the Beatles?
I think they were fairly similar. Like, I think they were equal in talent.
Okay.
So,
that's fair.
David Lee Roth, Teddy Pendergrass.
Jermaine Jackson. I'll just keep saying Jermaine
Jackson. Who was Jermaine Jackson bigger than?
Jermaine Jackson was supposed to be, he's supposed to be the main lead singer in Jackson 5.
But he was never.
He thinks that.
So he's what he's saying.
He thinks that right now. He's like right now in his mind, he's like, yo, I wish fucking Mike was still alive if I could fucking get in his ass though right now.
Alright, I answered the question.
Let's go to the emails. Let's go to these emails before we get out of here. All
right.
All right. These emails from last week?
Yeah, from last week's show. All right. First up, this one comes from JOG. He says, hey, fellas, what do y'all think about this playoffs going on so far? A lot of things are going on. Do you think that a lot of money is going on in the NBA versus the NFL? Do you all think that Kaepernick will be back in the NFL?
Bro, that was a very fucking long-ass question.
Yeah. It was all one.
I followed it. Yeah, the NBA playoffs are interested in it for right now, but they're not going to be the Pelicans stepping on the Blazers' neck right now is entertaining to watch. Right. The Celtics have shown up and been a lot better than I thought they would be.
Kaepernick won't have a job.
Cap's not going to have a job. I'm going to say this about Colin. At this point, I think him getting a job undoes a lot of the work that he's done. If he gets a job and he agrees to not take the knee anymore, which it seems like a lot of them want to.
Right.
And this whole thing is really starting to sound like season 5 of Game of Thrones at this point, where they just bend the knee, don't bend the knee, whatever, with all of that. Like, if he just takes a job and says he's not going to take the knee, he's undone a lot of work. So right. I think at this point, listen, people worry about Colin Kaepernick's income. Colin Kaepernick's going to make money for the rest of his life now on the other side of that. So, like, he's good. But I don't think he's... I don't know, man. I wouldn't put any money down on the table. Say he's getting a job sometime soon. What was the third question in the middle of all of that?
He was asking about what do y'all think about the playoffs so far.
I talked about that. Yeah. I thought there was something else.
Yeah, no, that was it.
Okay.
Next up, this one is from Yuan Yang.
Shout out.
Shout out to our Chinese brothers. This one be a little bit choppy now. So I gotta reconvert this though. So as I'm reading,
reconvert. A reconvert is basically like the reverse card in Uno. Like, you're in the same place you started in.
He's, like, speaking English in here, but his English isn't the best.
No, do your thing. So I get that. I was just using... I was telling you...
It
impacted... I was saying...
Back to our engineering...
It impacted your English is more or less what I was talking about.
No.
Okay. All right.
I am one of your listeners out of China. My name is Yunyong Yang. Want to give you all a question and thoughts on what do you all think about... A couple of situations. One, do you all have anyone within you all's bracket that you all thought should have been in there that would have been a great candidate? And my second question, number two, do you all look at the NBA and see any player that was the opposite of a Ralph Tresvant, where he was staying at the top and he pushed everyone else down?
Hey, that's a real good question. Shout out to
Kobe
that second question.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that's
Kobe Bryant. That's Kobe Bryant. I mean, there ain't nobody else.
But I guess because he won rings, the people benefited from it. But, yeah, Kobe's the one that stayed on top and pushed everybody down.
So the opposite of a Ralph Tresvant would be a Bobby Brown, because like I said, that Kobe Bryant is the foremost Bobby Brown. But that'd be Kobe Bryant, though. Yeah, it's got to be Kobe. I don't even think there could be anybody else. Bryant.
What was the other question? What do you know with Platinum?
No, he asked about what do we think, what woman that we did wasn't in the bracket that do we think that would be a
You know what?
Zoe Saldana should have been there 5 times.
Hold up. I want to go back to that NBA.
She's in the bracket.
I want to go back to that NBA question real quick. Mm-hmm. Bill Russell, too. Bill Russell stood on the neck of a whole era because they just kept winning. Like, other people didn't win. And in that regard, Jordan might be one, too, because literally one of the most talented eras in the NBA, he walked away with a bunch of people that didn't have titles.
I feel like the opposite of Ralph is... I don't know if we're answering that right, because I feel like Ralph, you're saying that he was the most talented. That
somebody and he was pushed out there most.
So we're saying who was the least talented who made it. So I think your Bobby Bryant analogy was good. And I don't know that Kobe is good because I don't know that Kobe was good because Kobe was talented. So I feel like we need to find somebody who was like not marginally talented.
That stood on top of the league.
Stood on top. Not necessarily the league, but at least their team or something. You know what I'm saying?
Marginally talented.
I mean, if you're saying opposites.
Man, that's tough because it's hard to be on top of the game and not be good.
Right.
I think that the thing of this to say about that would be somebody, is he saying somebody that was supposed to stand on top?
Or? And they just kept pushing people down and keep putting their neck.
I think that's Jordan. Obviously, I think that's Jordan.
I'm saying the opposite of what you all spoke about before. Mm-hmm. If you're arguing that Ralph Tresvant was number one, mm-hmm. the opposite is the person who was number five that became number one. I feel like, again, that's I'm agreeing with your... No, Kobe was not. Kobe was the best player in the league for a long ass time.
No, but I'm saying originally he wasn't, though. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody is at first. But
yeah,
I mean,
nah. I'm thinking like...
Somebody snatched the crown.
When 3 was leading the Lakers or something. Like, I'm thinking like, okay. I'm thinking about like Elvin Campbell. Like, I'm on that shit. Okay. Bobby Fields. Like, I'm on that.
Can I say...
Nick Van Exel type shit.
Hot Rod Williams. I'm done.
I'm gonna say
Kenny Skywalker.
I'm gonna say Reggie Miller.
Kendall Gill in the Nets.
Yeah, Kendall Gill. Kendall Gill was like
Gill's one of my favorite players. Though, man, yeah, I have a story about Kendall Gill too.
It says a lot about you.
One of my favorite players as a kid and college players.
It says a lot about you. He shouldn't be your favorite.
Villanova was one of my favorite squads as a kid.
I feel that, but no. Love Kerry Kittles too.
Love Kerry Kittles too.
That's fair.
Did Sadale Threat play for Villanova?
No, Kendall Gill played for Illinois.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was confused
about. But I like both of them, though. Which is funny that he said that. Listen. I like both of them, though.
Does Allen Iverson count?
No.
He's Georgetown.
Because he was in that 5-year window in the NBA where
like, nobody was the best.
No one was really the best.
Okay, yes.
It's like Vince.
I was just saying, though, like a 5'10 cat that was. I'm talking about like a 5'10 cat.
It was a piss of niggas.
I'm just saying, like a 5'10 cat that was driving 30 a night is pretty fucking incredible.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to put AI forward for that. What was the second part of the question, though? I'm sorry.
No, he was asking about the woman thing, though. Like, who we put in the blacker that wasn't there.
And I said Zoe
I was saying Nevaeh from Spartacus.
Who didn't make the bracket that should have been in there?
Yeah, it's a lot, man.
Yeah,
we kind of
talked about
that.
We got
Kerry Hilson. Yeah. We got a couple people that should have made the bracket, man.
Zoe
should have made it far. I told you she wasn't gonna fuck with no Sade. I told you
What's her name? From Black Panther. We like immediately regretted not putting her in there. The actress
Lupita?
Yeah.
Lupita is only been in the game
for 5 years. Because of Black Panther.
No, but at the same time, you gotta give her some time to breathe, though. We talking about like some. Lupita shouldn't have been in there, though.
Hey, man, I'm looking at y'all a certain way.
No, Lupita shouldn't have been in there.
That's all I want you to say.
I think the bracket
post Black Panther Lupita should have been in there.
I think the bracket was tremendous and it represented my views on life.
No, dude, that got us so much love. That bracket like took the podcast to another level, though. Random people that weren't even listening to the podcast.
Where did they see these next two?
Yeah, because I'm not being in the one he's trying to do, though. The one about the greatest show of all time.
That's down the road.
You said the black.
I'm not talking about
it. Why you not gonna be in that one?
I'm not gonna release.
No, I said we can't do that though. It's too many shows.
The greatest.
No, mine was character.
Character, black character, not show. Omar. Shows I could do though.
What do you want? It's not
like character.
Omar.
black character of all time? Any show?
Omar.
No, man, I can't do that.
A black gay man before gay was being cool.
If you go back and listen, if you go back and listen to like five different shows, he said
one show
he says he's out. The next show he's in. One show he's out. The next show he's in. This week he'll be in next week.
Omar's the most complex character of black history on television. It's not close.
I can see that.
It's not even close. It's not even like. At the time when he was doing it's just not close.
I think it's Carlton Banks for real.
Nah, like fuck, that shit was so.
That's an interesting.
It's either Omar or Panther. Panther is complicated.
I'm cool with Panther. Because
he's all these white people.
Because Panther was amongst
all these
the white people with nunchucks. So I'm cool. And he was voiced by Bill Cosby's daddy on Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cool with Panther.
Rest in peace, he just died last year, man.
I'm cool with that. Did you know your son was wrecking bitches?
Nah.
Panther was like, not me.
Not me.
That's a fucked up way to end this podcast.
Dude, we end this shit, man. I ain't doing the last email. Last email, one of the emails asking for legal advice. We got the little, is one of them back in the back, asking for legal advice over some shit.
Let me hear it.
Do you really want to hear this shit, though?
The doctor is
in. This is nigga shit, though. This is real nigga shit, though. Like, this is going to really humor you, man.
Bill, what are you doing in there?
I responded to it like, man, you need to, like, you can call me for this shit, though.
Bill, what are you doing in there?
All right. This comes from
your daddy Panther.
That's the funniest shit in the world.
Can you imagine Panther? Can you imagine Panther sitting in your fucking living room reading the paper?
Yo, I'd be like, yo, can you go get these motherfucking gutters cleaned out and fuck it up? Yo. No, I'd be like, it's all good, though, man. Yes, like, it's all good, though. Go and get this motherfucking, these gutters cleaned out for me and shit.
But crazy thing is that people that don't know Thundercats are not going to get this job.
They don't get that shit at all.
This shit is so funny.
It's fine. I like it. Shit,
all right, what's the
all right, this was from J.P. Thomas. He says, this email would be late, but I know you all have a lawyer on the show. Wanted to give him a question. I got a baby mama. But I don't think it's my kid, but I'm getting hit up on child support for the last 7 years. My mother says I need to go through the court system to do this, but I don't have no paper to figure out what I'm going to need to do. But at the same time, she told me in a private conversation it ain't my kid, but she don't get paper from me. What should I do?
This is, first of all,
I told him, nigga, you are living days of my life.
First of all, time out.
No, I said, you living days of our lives, I would let him know. But like, nigga, like,
that's not a real. That's, first of all, that's not a real email. That is the lyrics to Billie Jean.
Oh shit! He just said all. He just looked down.
At some point, a tiger is gonna appear and walk across the street, and everything's gonna be okay.
Shout out to China.
Listen, man. If you have a child, and you the question would be, did he sign the birth certificate? That's the first question. Second question is.
I would have wished I had emailed him back, because my first email back was like, nigga, you live in days of our
lives. Second question is, if you 7 years in the game, you may as well not even fuck that kid's life up. You might as well be that kid's daddy. That's second. Although we did have the show about when you find out that kid's not yours.
No, and you said dump that motherfucker. The motherfucker said dump it. You said dump that motherfucker. The motherfucker said he's 15. No, nigga.
I didn't want to be the one to reference that.
Yo, because my boy in this situation, you know. And everything, though, his kid, he's like, nigga, I'm out. Fuck that little nigga.
So listen, the question is, did you sign
you the birth certificate? You said, fuck that little nigga.
I recognize my mistake. I'm acknowledging it, and I'm saying, in this situation, which is different than your boy.
Yes, sir.
One, did you sign the birth certificate? Two, what costs more, paying for this kid for the next 18 years or getting a DNA test? And I feel like, for peace of mind, get a DNA test and then call it a day. Who gives a fuck? Like, why are you like debating? Why are you spending time?
Niggas is cheap, man. Niggas is cheap. Niggas be like, niggas be looking at their motherfucking bill of goods and be like, man, nigga, can I cut out my motherfucking child support? Like, they look at it like their bills. Even though they probably don't, because they don't. It ain't like they looking at their whole budget. I'm thinking like a regular person looking at their budget and be like, I cut out my cable.
What did I say the cutoff was on that show? Did I say like 15 years old and you still buy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, you was like, if you were in high school or if you eligible to play a varsity sport,
maybe you'll fuck with him because then you can maybe if you popping up like you said like yo like is that nigga catching balls like, nigga,
that's how you don't
is
end
he
up,
is he motherfucker Aha Williams
that's brother? How you don't end up like LeBron James
the D-back hey. The number one D-back in the state of Missouri
oh that's not my kid how many wait a minute how many yards he had this week. How many yards he had? Oh, that's my boy.
No, it ain't. No, DNA. No DNA. No DNA.
We don't need to take this to trial at all. He 170 yards? Five catch? What? That's my son.
That is my son.
Fair enough. But, you know, I feel like that question is very simple. Did you sign the fucking birth certificate? And if not, then you need to do a DNA test.
Then the kid is not your son. You'll know one way or the other.
Period.
All right. Brandon, they can't hit you up nowhere in general online, so...
Nah, but they can just shout out. They can send emails to y'all.
You can believe in Brandon like Luke Skywalker did at the end of The Last Jedi. Maybe you'll look off
literally, somebody tweeted us and was like, yo, that nigga Brandon just pop in on some Yoda shit as the fucking Force Ghost.
Yeah.
Like, he is like... He's like, we only know the show... He said like three T's. He's like, we only know the show the nigga gonna be on. Y'all don't even say it until I read the description and Brandon on there and he be like, damn, I'm getting some game and shit.
So
motherfuckers respect niggas that give good game, though, man.
Brandon is like a force ghost that'll cuss you out and make fun of you until you leave.
At the same time.
He doesn't leave.
Because your girl
you gotta leave.
No, because your girl's still there, though. He be like, so I'm here, though. And then, so, you know, since your girl, I'm
he
here.
He doesn't acknowledge regular social conventions like that.
No, but
it's not, you know how, like, Obi-Wan used to disappear like Luke had to. Please, Obi-Wan.
No, he's Qui-Gon Jinn, man.
Yeah, he's
Qui-Gon
here.
He force ghosts himself out though, and he kept popping up though.
He's here, cussing you out.
And because Qui-Gon Jinn, if you look at the whole thing though, he educated Arabellas on how to force ghost themselves. They're like, yo, I figured this shit out. I got fucked up. But y'all motherfuckers though, figure this. I'm teaching all y'all motherfuckers
so
how to
take
like
everything you just said and make it just as ratchet as possible.
There you
go. That's
me.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll take it. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn in the hood. Yeah, you a hood Qui-Gon Jinn. You look Qui-Gon.
I fuck with
Matt. Where can you ship in, man?
I'm on Twitter.
They know where you at with the check.
I got blue check. Yeah.
With the blue check. Did you see the person hitting us up about
my blue check?
Yeah.
Were they trying to buy it?
No.
Because I would absolutely sell it to them if they want it.
No. They were talking about, I'll tell you off the air though.
Okay.
They hit us up about something we said, like y'all predicted it.
Oh.
I'll show you in a minute though. But
okay.
Thank you for listening. Email straightolc@gmail.com. Support
hey,
us as always though. Live show coming up.
Live show coming up.
We're gonna be
details coming soon.
Brandon,
details coming soon.
Zoe forever.
It'll be local. First live show. People have asked for live shows.
No
first
Zoe
live shows.
I feel vindicated.
I'm gonna edit my fucking shout out.
That's what Daryl does. He makes your opinion be his until he's satisfied with it.
Exactly.
Live show coming up soon. Details.
And I look up this motherfucker. He's not even letting me do the promo for the live show either.
Like. Last show coming up here in St. Louis. It'll be the test run for where we do the other ones, but those are coming up soon. Details on that to follow shortly.
Appreciate y'all listening. Give us a holler. Peace.